You are listening to The Christian Commute, a commute-length podcast about Christian apologetics, theology, and other matters of Christian interest. Here is your host, Seth Dunn.
It is Monday, November 16th, and The Christian Commute is back. And you were pulling out of the sketch gas station with me on the way home. So sorry, everybody, for being gone for, what, 6 days? Six episodes, 6 weekdays, but as I said, I was moving last week, so I took the entire week off to move, and frankly, I'm still not finished moving, because I've got so many knickknacks at my old house, some of which will surely be thrown away to go, but Reagan, you can sleep easy tonight, knowing the Christian Commute is back, and your routine is back to normal. And by the way, sorry about Friday's show, guys. I worked 2 Fridays ago, but I was just so exhausted because I did all my work that I needed to get done for the next week. By the way, does that happen to you guys when you take a week off of vacation and you're sitting there Friday? You're like, well, I won't get to do this next week, so I better do it now. That's what I was doing. I was so worn out on Friday that I didn't record a show. So that's why we missed 6 instead of 5. And I'm going to tell you this. My plant sometimes shuts down for the whole week of Thanksgiving, so I think we're going to be down next week, not just Thursday and Friday, the statutory holidays, but the other days as well. So there'll probably be no Christian Commutes next week at all, unless I do a studio show, but why would I? I'm off from work. And this week, I'm going to work tomorrow, but I may work from home on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. My entire staff is working from home. So if they're not there, why do I need to be here? Other than to enjoy my big office with my 3 monitors. And I just set up my new office at my new house. And work gave me a new computer. And it's so newfangled and fancy that only one of my monitors works with it. That because I have an external graphics card. But I ordered a new monitor, so I'll have 3 monitors to work off at home on Wednesday. So today and tomorrow are likely the only Christian Commutes you're going to be getting this week and next week. So November is going to be an historically low month for the Christian Commute. But here I am back. I've got today's show. And I hope you enjoy it after a long hiatus. Today's show topic is having the church conversation. Having the church conversation. I have a question in the inbox about marriage in the heavenly city, in the New Jerusalem, in the eschaton. And as always, we have the Bible chapter review. We're in Mark chapter 9, talking about all things being possible. I have to cough. Guys, I don't think I have COVID, but I'm so tired I wouldn't know because I'm absolutely exhausted from moving and picking up and putting down and picking up and putting down. So my body aches are just from being old, most likely. Ugh, and I have many of them. So in Mark chapter 9, Jesus has just come off the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John. And they rejoin the other disciples. And as they're walking up to them, they see that the disciples are in a dispute with the scribes. So something is going on with Jesus' disciples and the scribes. And here's what the dispute turns out to be. A man from the crowd speaks and he says, "Listen, I brought my son who has an unclean spirit for your disciples to cast it out, and they couldn't do it." So that's probably what the scribes were arguing with his disciples about. And Jesus, in frustration, laments the unbelief of the present generation. This unbelieving generation. How long do I have to be with you? And he asks the guy, "What's the problem with your son?" And the guy says, "Listen, he's had this unclean spirit from childhood. It'll throw him in the fire to try to kill him. It'll throw him in the water to try to drown him." And it's just this terrible situation. And the guy being very diplomatic, "You know, Jesus, if you can do anything. Please have pity on me. And that kind of ticks Jesus off. Jesus says, if, and he says, all things are possible for the one who believes. And the Father famously says, I do believe, help my unbelief. I do believe, help my unbelief. So Jesus casts out the unclean spirit. It convulses again. The boy falls down. People think he's dead, but he's really not. Jesus takes his hand and picks him up. And the unclean spirit that the disciples could not cast out has been cast out by Jesus. And later the disciples ask him, they say, why couldn't we cast it out? And Jesus says, this kind only comes out by prayer. And previously Jesus had lamented, before he makes this comment, unbelief. So, who ultimately casts out demons? Is it you, or is it the Holy Spirit? Is it God? Right? So, if I'm talking to you, if you tried to cast out a demon, nothing special in you to cast out the demon. It's the power of God that casts out the demon. So, I in the name of Jesus, demon, cast you out, not in the name of Seth, because I can't. So the faith to do something is ultimately in God. So when Jesus says this kind only comes out by prayer, it's a prayer to God to cast out the demon. And if you don't believe, you're not going to pray. So the disciples who were trying to cast out the demon, they were trying to do it implicitly, this is what we learn implicitly here, by their own accord. And they didn't even really believe they could. They weren't 100% sure. They should have been 100% sure that God could do it. And then they should have cast out the demon by praying to God to ask for his help. It says, well, demon, get out. Oh, it didn't work. Well, I wonder why. And if they'd have had that faith, they would have been able to do it before Jesus came down the mountain. Now, Jesus never lacks in faith. It is not through, listen to me, it is not through the Father's belief, the Father who says, I believe, help my unbelief, which is a statement that doesn't even make sense. It is not through any kind of belief of the Father that the demon is cast out. It's by the faith of Jesus himself who cast the demon out. Because Jesus has no doubt that God can cast out the demon. And thus, Jesus does it. And this appears to be a particularly powerful and troublesome demon. But Jesus, having faith, casts it out, and we are supposed to be as believing in God the Father as Jesus is. Jesus was here in the story, and as Jesus is now. So that it's the first part of Mark chapter 9 in our Bible chapter review. And we'll leave it right there. Now let's go to the inbox. Do you have a question about Christian theology or apologetics? You can send it to SethDunn88@gmail.com. SethDunn88@gmail.com. Or you can dial 470-315-0875. My show notes have fallen down, so I'm going to abandon them. 470-315-0875. And thank you to the one person who sent a question, even though I was on vacation. So it was pretty nice to get a question sent to build up the inbox while I was away, not answering them. But today is a question that came in before I went on vacation. Usually when you go on vacation, you leave somewhere. I literally went to the other side of my neighborhood with all my stuff, because my new house is on the other side of my neighborhood. And there's still a bunch of my stuff in the old house. So that's where I went on vacation. I took days off to labor harder than I labored all year, walking around. And of course, I hired some guys to help me. So, this question came in not before I went on vacation, but before I took days off of work. And here it is. It's from Frank in Maryland. Frank in Maryland is really keeping the inbox going. And it's about something he doesn't get. He's asking, why is there no marriage in the resurrection? So remember when the teachers of the law or the scribes come to Jesus and they're trying to trap him, and they're thinking about the Levirate marriage, and they say, teacher, consider a woman, and she is married and her husband dies, so then her brother takes her as his wife. And then he dies, so the next brother takes her as his wife. In the resurrection, maybe it was the Sadducees. I think it was the Sadducees who did this because they didn't believe in the resurrection. In the resurrection, Jesus, whose wife is she going to be? And Jesus says, nobody's. It's not going to be like that in the resurrection where you're husband and wife. People aren't going to be given in marriage in the resurrection. And that's his, he said, you'll be like the angels. And that's his answer to them. And they're trying to trip him up. So we know from that that there's no marriage in the resurrection. So I'm a Christian. I'll be there in the resurrection in my new body, resurrected. That's the same. It's really the same body. I don't know how God works that out, but I'll be there in a body. So will my wife, Laura Dunn, but we won't be married. Same thing for my dad, mom, grandparents, etc. And Frank sees this and he thinks, well, wait a minute. When Jesus created man and woman, even before the fall, he said, be fruitful and multiply. So before the fall, God gave Adam a wife. Because remember, he was incomplete without his wife. And he tells them to have children. So the purpose of the existence of women, it would seem, in Frank's mind, I'm not trying to speak for him, is to get married and bear children. And men are supposed to have children with their wives. So Frank says, well, why is it that this is a part of creation, but we don't have it in the resurrection? In the New Jerusalem, there's no marriage. In the New Heavens and the New Earth, there's no childbearing. There's no marriage. What's the deal? Well, I don't know, Frank. The Bible doesn't say, but let's think about this. There will be no people being born, but there also be no people dying. And again, you might go and say, well, nobody was dying before Genesis 3:16 or Genesis 3:15 when they took the forbidden fruit. Nobody was dying then. But here's the deal. Be fruitful and multiply and take dominion of the earth. We're not just supposed to be fruitful and multiply and not take dominion of the earth. We're supposed to be fruitful and multiply and take dominion of the earth. So in the new heavens and the earth is perfected. There's no more taking dominion. Dominion is taken. Jesus has come back, and the only people alive are Christians. So nobody's dying. And listen to this. All the elect people who will ever be born have been born. I'm going to say that again. All the elect people who will ever be born will have been born in the heavenly city. Remember what Peter said. God is not slow in keeping his promises, as some count slowness, but not desiring any to perish. The Lord is waiting to return. That's a little paraphrase there. But in heaven, there are no people to be born to be a part of the kingdom. The whole kingdom is already there. And there's no longer any earth by which to take dominion, because the earth is perfect. The heavens and earth have been remade anew, and we're with Jesus. Why do we need more people? We don't need more people. And by the way, we don't need the companionship of a spouse, because marriage really reflects Jesus and his bride, the church. We're there with Jesus. We live with God. We're walking around the streets with Jesus. What do we need marriage for? Think about how much you love your wife. If you lived with Jesus, you would never think about missing your wife or your significant other at all. So the reason, I would guess, that there's no more marriage and childbearing in the heavenly city is because there's no more people needed. There's no more marriage isn't needed. Procreation is no longer needed. It's no longer a part of God's created order because it has come to fruition. That's the end. What do you do? What do you do after you win the Super Bowl? Nothing. You won the Super Bowl. I mean, and there's no next season. So think about if you were an NFL team and you won the Super Bowl and there was never any more football again. What would you do? Well, you'd never practice football again. You'd find something else to do. So, I mean, that's a crude analogy. It kind of fails, but I hope you get the point of it. And remember, think about this. What is this? Look up the very first thing the Westminster Confession of Faith says. The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Right? We are here to glorify God. That's our purpose. And right now, marrying our spouse and bearing children and raising them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord glorifies God. But our purpose is not to get married and have kids. Or at least that's not our sole purpose. Our purpose is to glorify God. And in the New Jerusalem, it no longer glorifies God to marry and have children. You don't need marriage because you don't need any more people. That's the best answer I can give you, Frank, from a systematic understanding of theology, a biblical anthropology, and a biblical theology proper, and a biblical eschatology. And I'm just trying to put that together. There's not a verse I can point you to. Sometimes there's not a verse for your question. It's, well, how would I answer this question based on the truths of Scripture? So, Frank, I hope that satisfies your curiosity. And with that, I will move on to today's show title, The Church Conversation. So whenever you move, and that's what I just did, you're going to meet new people. You're going to meet new neighbors. So right now, I'm sorry, previously, last week before I moved, and I lived on Ardmore, my neighbors stage left, Brian and Angela, went to the Well United Methodist Church. So the Rock and Roll United Methodist Church merged with the non-rock and roll Rock and Roll United Methodist Church. It used to be the Well, the cross point of Methodism, I might call it. And then Trinity United Methodist Church, they merged to become Trinity at the Well. And that's where my neighbors went. And then it turns out they go to Cross Point now. And then my neighbor to the right, I think she's Catholic. The neighbor to the right of her, Betty, went to Tabernacle. My neighbor across the street, neighbors across the street, moved into Cartersville. They went to Tabernacle. And then the people I met down the street went to some church in Kennesaw. I don't remember the name of it. And then there were some more people from Tabernacle down the street. And then some other kids in the neighborhood that my friends play with. Their parents go to First Baptist. This is where we go. And all that conversation to say, those are the people who live around me, and I knew where they went to church. And eventually, we had those conversations as we met as neighbors. Now, having moved on to a new street, I have new neighbors. And as happens here in the Bible Belt, when you meet your new neighbors, just somehow it comes up, where do you go to church? And that's a natural conversation. That's not the conversation this podcast is about. I'm not saying find out where your neighbors go to church. Here in the Bible Belt, we just do that. I don't have to have a podcast about that. Wherever you live, if you're in Canada or Yankee land somewhere, maybe your neighbors don't go to church. I don't know. But hey, how are you? Nice to meet you. I do this for a living. I came from this place over here, and I go to church here. It's a perfectly natural conversation to have. And one of these natural conversations took place Saturday as I was moving. I met my next door neighbor, and he told me where he went to church. And do you know where he went? Cross Point City Church. Now, you frequent listeners to the Christian Commute know that if Cross Point City Church was on fire, I wouldn't urinate on it to put it out. because I detest Cross Point City Church.
Well, Seth, the church is the bride of Christ. Why do you detest?
I detest that branded, seeker-sensitive, rock and roll alternative church. If you go up to Cross Point, it's kind of like the Andy Stanley mentality. It's a church for people who know they should go to church, and they go to that one instead of where they grew up. So if you go to Cross Point City Church, you'll find a lot of people who used to go to Tabernacle, or a lot of people who used to go to First Baptist, etc., etc. And they have their little logo, they have the little sticker that they put on the back of their car that my wife says looks like it was a homosexual sign. It's two arrows that come together. Bumper sticker Baptist Church. And you guys who listen to this show know how I detest seeker-sensitive, rock and roll, goat churches, jeans and a coffee bar, not because jeans are sinful, not because coffee bars are bad, but because the only reason you have jeans and the coffee bar at your church is to be cool and to get people to come to your jeans and coffee bar church. It's a brand. It doesn't have anything to do with the Bible. You're trying to get people to come. You're trying to be different than other churches. And you can't just say heresy because people, well, that's heresy. I don't want to do that. You're trying to be different than other churches. And yes, even James, the pastor there, he does preach expositorily. But they have committed the quote-unquote unpardonable sin. What, they blasphemed the Holy Spirit? No, they let a woman preach from the pulpit. So Cross Point City Church is one of these churches, if you listen to their preaching, you won't find any, well, they hadn't said anything unscriptural, but if you look at their operations, it's like, why are women in charge? Why are you baptizing, practicing homosexuals? What's going on? So that, for those of you who are newer listeners, that's just, you know, the short explanation of why I detest Cross Point City Church, right? And I think the guy, to boot, was trained by New Spring. He's like the Perry Noble type. Perry Noble type, what's the, Willow Creek type. So it's, you know, Andy Stanley-esque. I call the guy who preaches there Four Stripe Adidas Mark Driscoll. So you listeners know that. And here I met somebody, brand new guy, neighbor, and this guy, I don't know, 50, 60 years old. He's older than me. And then he says he goes to Cross Point. And he says, you know, I used to go to Tabernacle, and I was a deacon there, but my son said, Dad, I want to try out Cross Point. And my neighbor says to me, my new neighbor, he says, when you have a 17 or 18 year old who wants to go to church, I mean, what do you do? And what he was saying is something I already knew and something we all know. You know, I'm a parent and I'm not there with my kids yet, but when your kids get 18, 20 years old, sometimes they lose interest in going to church. And you think, well, have I raised a prodigal? And you think, well, if my kid's interested to go to church, I'll go to whatever church they want to go to. And by the way, Cross Point City Church knows that. First Baptist Woodstock knows that. The seminary knows that. Get the kids and you'll get their parents. Get the kids and you get their parents. So here you have this guy who seems like a traditional Baptist guy to me, who is serving a deacon at Tabernacle, and he said, well, I'm going to go to Cross Point because that's where my son wanted to go. And I could have left the conversation right there and said, well, yeah, I go to First Baptist. And this is a good time to add the proviso that the elders, deacons, and members of the First Baptist Church of Cartersville, Georgia, do not necessarily endorse the things I say on this podcast. And probably a lot of them wouldn't say what I'm about to say. Many of them probably think it, and they still wouldn't say it. But I'm going to say it. I'm going to continue saying it. So I didn't leave the conversation right there. Like, oh, you go to Cross Point? Oh, I go to Tabernacle. I basically told the guy what I thought of Cross Point City Church. And I said, you know what? They have a woman to preach there. And he mentioned Susie Jordan. He's like, you know, my kid, you know, they knew the Jordans. And I said, you know, I know Glenn and Susie. I like Glenn and Susie. They own the Chick-fil-A. What Baptist wouldn't? Actually, can you own a Chick-fil-A? I think you really just are an operator. They're all franchises, I think. Anyway, they run the Chick-fil-A, so what Baptist wouldn't love them? And Susie, as I've talked to, I've talked about on this show before, has preached from the pulpit from that church. And I told the guy, I said, I would never go there. They have a woman to preach from the pulpit. I've heard Susie do it. And that's not right. He's like, yeah, you're right. That's not right. And I said, they play Hillsong in Bethel. Yeah, they do. He's like, well, do they play Hillsong in Bethel at your church? And I said, the last time they played a Hillsong song at First Baptist, they changed the words. It was that, you didn't want heaven without us. Jesus, you brought heaven down. They changed that word. I don't know what they changed it to. I wasn't there, but my Sunday school teacher told me they did it. And I was like, heck yeah. Not that I think they should sing it in the first place. But I basically said, this is my new neighbor. I'm going to live next to this guy if the Lord tarries and the creek don't rise until he dies. Because I am not moving out of this giant house. Because I got a 5-bedroom house, and I got 5 kids and 1 on the way, and there's bedrooms in the basement, and I never, ever want to go through the experience of carrying my stuff up all those stairs again. I am telling you, I ain't moving. As much as it is up to me, I ain't moving. And I don't think this guy's going to move either. So I'm going to be neighbors to this guy. You know, can I borrow something from you? You want to be friends with your neighbors. And I'm going to be neighbors with this guy for whenever. And I could have just said, oh yeah, you go to church, and walked away and had a nice neighborly relationship, not made him uncomfortable, but not going to do it. And it's one of those things, is like, should I be autistic here? Yes, I'm going to be autistic. I'm not going to let it stand without saying that Cross Point City Church is a goat church. And I told him exactly what I thought of Cross Point. And I told him, I said, you're a grown man. You're a deacon at the church. And you're, you know, 50, 60 years old, however old you are. And by the way, this isn't like Joe Schmo. This is like somebody in Cartersville. And I don't say that to, you know, name drop that my neighbor is somebody. I'm just saying, like, this is a person of good reputation in my town that I have risked offending. Fine. And I said, you know, you're old enough, you've been in church all your life, and then you go to church where your son wants to go to church. Who's more spiritually mature, you, a 50-year-old dude, or your 18-year-old son? That's the tail wagging the dog. And it offends me. And I'm not even a member. I used to be a member of Tabernacle. I'm not right now. But it offends me when I see grown Christian men leave their church that has nurtured them for however many years. You're teaching Sunday school there. You were married there. You're baptized there. You've been doing the poor people food ministry there, etc., etc., etc. Souls have been saved through the witness of this church. And you leave it, not because of some heresy or because of some, you know, typical Baptist infighting, which happens at every church. You leave because your son wants to go to rock and roll church. Now, why did they make rock and roll church? Rock and roll coffee jeans, four stripe Mark Driscoll Adidas church. Why does it even exist? For the sole purpose of sucking your immature child away and then getting you and your money with it. So now you're going to go there every week and listen to Bethel and Hillsong and give 10% of your giant income, because this is a guy who lives in my neighborhood, it's a nice neighborhood, to this church. It's like the Ninja Turtles getting your money. And I think I brought that, I said it's like they do with action figures. It's Saturday morning cartoons. That's how they get your money. That's how they get you. And he was nice about it. You know, whenever I talk to people like this, and I didn't do that like I do on this show. I do that, I'm sitting here on my dashboard karate chopping it as I make my points. I wish you guys could see the show. I didn't do that. But it's an uncomfortable conversation. And I just basically said what I thought. And then we transitioned and left it off. And then yesterday, I'm walking into my house. You know, I was taking the garbage out or something. I'm walking into my house. Another neighbor pulls up. Now, this neighbor I've met because they were helping the previous residents move out. Now, get this. The previous residents go to Tabernacle. If you're a Baptist in my town, you generally are going to go to First Baptist or Tabernacle or a smattering of small churches or Crosspoint. So I'm moving into a house where the people who moved out go to Tabernacle. The people next door did go to Tabernacle, but they moved to Crosspoint. And then I guess these people are two doors down. Like I said, I met them the night they were helping the previous residents move out. And the husband pulls up in his driveway, and what's on the back of his truck? I'm going to tell them about my podcast so they can listen to this. On the back of his church is a Cross Point City Church sticker. So I move into Cross Point land. And it's going to be by the way, every conversation anybody has with me is awkward because I have Asperger's syndrome. So it's going to be a doubly awkward conversation. I'm eventually going to bring up, oh, yeah, you go to Cross Point City Church. Yeah, I wouldn't pee on it to put it out. This is Goat Church in my neighborhood. And we all have the church conversation. That's not in question. We all have the church conversation. Oh, where do you go to church? Oh, where do you go to church? Neighborly, blah, 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 blah. And we know we're not going to convince anybody, oh, you should come to my church. You've been going to this church for 5 years. You should come to mine. No, we're just feeling people out. We're being sociable. This is the Bible Belt. You go to church here. If you tell me you go to the PCUSA church, I'll assume you're lost, etc., etc. But don't just have the conversation, the church conversation. Go the extra awkward step, even though it might cost you some awkward looks for the next 30 years of your life as you pay off your 30-year mortgage. Go the extra step and say, I don't think you should go to that church. And that's not being presumptuous if somebody says, well, Seth, I like to eat lunch at Ross's. I don't think you should go to Ross's. I think you should go to Four Way, or I think you should go to Cody J's, or I think you should go to Scott's. It's not a matter of taste. I don't think any living, breathing human being should go to Cross Point City Church. It's not right for anybody. Some people say, oh, it's right for me. I like the casual atmosphere. I like the right. It's non-judgmental. You know, above. No, it's not right for anybody. If you pick a church because it's right for you and it was something other than theology, you picked a consumer-based church. And you picked it for the wrong reason. Listen to this. People choose churches that are right for them for the wrong reason. In my town, it's Cross Point City Church. All right? That's, you know, at least it's not as bad as Elevation or somewhere like that. But that's my Elevation. That's my New Spring. That's my North Point Church. In my Jerusalem, if you will. You know, I don't like the whole my Jerusalem, my Judea, my world. I don't like that whole Acts 1:8 challenge language. But if you want to say that my little street is my Jerusalem, well, it's full of people in the false temple of Cross Point City Church. And that's what I'm going to do when I have the conversation about where do you go to church. Hey, you want to have it. You put a sticker on your car. You must want me to ask about it. I see you like Yeti coolers, Browning rifles, the Georgia Bulldogs, and these two arrows. Tell me about your two arrows. Listen, if they put a sticker on their car, they're inviting you to ask about it. They're not one of these people, that's my private matter. I don't like to talk about politics and religion. No, if you put a Donald Trump, Mike Pence sign on your car, you want to talk about why you like Donald Trump. And if you put a Cross Point City Church sticker on your car, you want to talk about why you like Cross Point City Church and you go there and wear your jeans and drink your coffee latte and don't ever judge anybody. It's what you like. I would rather you listen to Donald Trump insult people on Twitter then go to Cross Point City Church. I really would. At least Donald Trump lowers your taxes. Ugh. Political situation. Not going to talk politics. Ugh. Joe Biden. Bad. Anyway, that's much I want to say. Going back to Cross Point City Church is the kind of church where people who vote Democrat would go. Just saying. Like they wouldn't have a problem with it is what I'm saying. Not because of the big government, because of the abortion.
the killing of the babies.
Now, if you go ask Cross Point City Church, you okay with abortion? They'll say no. But I guarantee you there are attenders who are totally okay with those kinds of candidates. Anyway, try not to get political. Trying not to make too many presumptions. I don't have to make presumptions. I know what I know. I know women preach there and they play Hillsong and Bethel. Because the guy told me they did. All right? I've seen it. I've got the blood stain with the DNA evidence linking them to the murder. I don't have to come up with circumstantial evidence. But these people are inviting you to ask them. So ask them about, why do you like it? Oh, you do, blah, blah, blah. Ask them about it. Why do you go there? Because, by the way, nobody grew up there. Seth, you know, why did you go to William Park Baptist Church? Because that's where my mom took me. And then I went there until we left town. Why do you go to Tabernacle? That's where I started going when we moved into town. You know, that's... Nobody would, came up as a child at Cross Point. When you, generally speaking, talk to somebody from Cross Point, or whatever the version of Cross Point is in your town, they will likely have come from some Orthodox normal church that doesn't have jeans and a coffee bar. But here, they have coffee at Tabernacle. It's just not a coffee bar. You can wear jeans there. I've seen people do it. Same thing for First Baptist. My gosh, coronavirus. Would you go away? I used to walk into First Baptist, deposit my kids in the little nursery area, and then get some coffee and go to Sunday school, and the coffee's gone. It's not about coffee and jeans. But it is. Help my belief. I believe. Help my unbelief. It's not about coffee and jeans, but it is about coffee and jeans. They're inviting you to have this conversation, so have it, even if it's awkward. Let them say why they like it first, and then tell them why it's crap. I would rather my neighbor look at me funny for the rest of my life than have not said anything. Because maybe what I said to him resonated. And maybe he'll say something to his wife. And maybe he'll say, you know what? If we've raised our son up in the way he should go, he's going to go to church or he's not. But we don't have to go there to let the tail wag the dog. And I don't know anything about these other neighbors, the Cross Point people, but I want to have the conversation with them. That's the loving thing to do. And I can be the pariah on the cul-de-sac. Have you talked to Seth? He just insulted my church. Fine. But would you rather be the pariah on the cul-de-sac, pariah on the street, or would you rather be the guy who, through salt and light, said, what are you thinking? When I was in college, I was home one summer, and I had my friend David. And we went to college together, but in Athens. But we were friends in high school. And David was a ladies' man. He always had a girl after him. I don't know why. Not, his brother's pretty good looking. My mom always comments on how cute his brother is. David, we'll see. He's a kicker. He's a place kicker. What's so alluring about a place kicker? But he's one of my best friends. I'll stop running him down. And he's always had one girlfriend after the next. And one summer we're home for college. He was dating a girl, Vandy Taylor. She used to live on this street. And Vandy kept a book of every man she had slept with. And this was common knowledge to everybody. And there was like 300 people in the book. She went to college with us too. And my friend David is dating Vandy. And David's a church-going Christian like David. Why in the world are you going on a date with Vandy Taylor? She slept with 300 guys. Where do you think this is going? By the way, one of the nicest people you could meet, Vandy Taylor. Nice to everybody. I think she's a married mom now, but come on. David, where do you think this is going? Why are you dating this girl? And this is the same attitude. Like, you can have somebody like, why are you going out with your girlfriend? And they might be mad at you. But if your friend was going out with a girl who, you know, was a roll of the dice for venereal disease, you'd say something to it.
If your neighbors are going to goat church, why would you not have that church conversation? Thanks for listening to The Christian Commute. That's how long it takes me to get home now, because I'm here. As always, God bless, and as always, remember, Christianity is not about getting saved. It's about being saved.
Thanks for listening to The Christian Commute. Please send your questions about Christian apologetics and theology to SethDunn88@gmail.com. If you are not a Christian, please remember that you can be reconciled to God through the shed blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Repent of your sins now and accept Jesus as Lord. God bless.